Sanctity of Life Sunday, and it really all stems from what happened in 1973. And of course, in 1973 is when Roe v. Wade took place and all the things surrounding that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that necessarily this morning, although I've shared with some of you this a while back, but the lady who was involved in that case, Norma McCorvey is her name. She's actually written a book and talking about, you know, she come to be saved through all that. And it's a very powerful book, really a good thing to read. But anyway, if you think about this morning, sanctity of life, if you will, it kind of, this year I saw it, I guess, from a little bit of a different perspective than maybe in the past, I guess. And the reason why is because when we put it in the bulletin a few weeks back, you know that today was Sanctity of Life Sunday. David come to me and asked me, he said, "Daddy, what are we going to do that day? We're going to have food, you know, what special thing we going to do that day?" He said, "I ain't never heard of that before." And I really didn't know how to answer his question. And of course, I explained what we was going to do. That was the easy part. But then he said, "What is that about? Why? You know what?" And I could get very graphic when talking about that because I've done a lot of studying on how they do those things and what it is, and did a long thing when I was in college about all the methods and all this type of different stuff. And boy, I got a lot of stuff at home in a file with all that, and all those types of things, and did a lot of reading and different things down through the years on all that. And it's a difficult question, I guess, to answer in the right way, carefully, you know, but to explain when it comes to that. And so it kind of opened up my eyes, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, to how I don't know how else to say it this morning. I'm at a loss for words. But of how so far-fetched abortion is. And that's putting it mildly. How so far-fetched even the idea that this would be okay to do. That it would be permissible to do. To sit here and to try to explain it to an 8-year-old kid, if there was any doubt in mind of whether this was right or wrong, to sit here to try to explain it to a kid, you know, it just makes it even more real, I guess, and I didn't go into great detail, but of how horrible this really is, if that makes any sense. You know? And you think about today how, you know, what an awful thing abortion is, and we're not really going to necessarily spend a lot of time on that, I don't think. That's only a part of it. But the title of the message simply the Lord gave me this morning is Life, a Gift from God. Life, a Gift from God. And like I said, we're going to read a good many verses of Scripture to begin with, and then we'll kind of get into the message. I think I've got a shorter message, just a lot of verses, okay? And so I know that's going to take up some time, so I'm not saying it's going to be a short message, but just a lot of verses more than anything. Matthew 19 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "Then were there brought unto him little children." Talking about Jesus, of course, "that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said," I want you to notice the first two words here, the next two words I should say, "suffer little children," the three words, "and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Just like we talked about the word perfect, The word suffer here, when Jesus used that, he was not saying, well, we'll suffer and let the little kids come. That's not what he's talking about. Like we talk about going through suffering, you know, pain, agony. That's not what he was meaning. You take and you look at the word suffer here, it means to permit, if you will, to let. And then the interesting thing I thought about when I looked up that word in the Greek, it had this idea to yield to. In other words, to take and to yield to the kids and set aside the other things that we're doing. In other words, yield to these little children. They are very important to me, Jesus said. Yield to them. Amen. Rather than dismissing them, rebuking them for what they were doing, let's take and yield the time, if you will, to them. Amen. And so that shows the importance of little children when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. So just keep that verse in mind, if you would, this morning by way of introduction. Now, Genesis chapter number 1. I could quote verse number 1, but I ask you to turn there because we're going to read some other verses surrounding this one. But Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. And so the Lord took, and we know, the Bible says it clearly here, so that's why we know it, that God created everything. Amen. Was I there? No. I was not there. Have I seen it firsthand? No. God is the only one. God is the one that was there. He saw it. Amen. He knows it. He said it. And I believe it. Amen. I have faith in that. Amen. Just like other people have faith in their beliefs. Amen. That they have about how things began or all those types of things. I have faith that God created it. Amen. That's my faith. That's my belief because I believe what the Bible says. That's what I choose to believe. And some choose not to. But the Bible says that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I believe it. He did create it. That's a fact. And so we see here that God created, if you will, the heaven and the earth, and God created everything that there is. Amen. God is the one that did that. He's the author of everything we see around us. But in chapter, in chapter number 4 of Genesis and verse number 1, I'm connecting together three or four passages here, if you will, and then we'll get into the message. Genesis 4 and verse number 1. Here is the first baby, I guess you'd say, child being born, if you will. And Genesis 4 and verse 1, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, notice what was said, I have gotten a man, notice the next three words, where? From the Lord. Amen. In other words, Cain was one, the first child that was born, right? Here he was born what? And what did they say? I've gotten a man, where? From the Lord. In other words, this child that was born, God gave us this child. Amen. It is from God. Amen. May I say every child that has ever been born or that ever will be born since this first child has been born all the way to the last child that ever be born is born, guess where they come from? The same place the first one did. Amen. They're from the Lord. Amen. Whether it be that somebody, if you will, and I don't like using these terms, but whether somebody took and planned and was desiring and wanting, if you will, to see a child be born and that to happen, or whether it happened because of other things, right, and other circumstances, if you will, guess what? It still is from the Lord. Amen? That doesn't change the fact, if you will. It is still from the Lord. Amen? Every child is from the Lord. Amen. Every child is created by the Lord. Every child is a miracle of God and from God. Amen. Everybody. And so you think about this morning, and everyone is special and unique and important. And here he says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. But notice with me back in chapter number 1, and I'm kind of bouncing, I know, back and forth here a little bit, but we'll make a point. Hopefully all this, the Lord will help us for it to come together. Genesis 1:26 Let's read where God created the first man. We read about the little children in Matthew and what Jesus said about them. We read about God creating everything. We read about the first baby, the first child that was born, that it was from the Lord. Now let's see about the first human, if you will, that God took and made and created mankind. Genesis 1 and verse number 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man," and notice this, "our image." Man is being made in whose image? God's image. Amen. Likeness, if you will. We'll get to see that word used here in a minute. "After our" what? "Likeness." Amen. And so man is created, mankind, not talking about male necessarily, but mankind is being made in the image or in the very likeness of God Himself. The animals was not done that way. Amen. They were not made in the image and the likeness of God. I don't see where that's said in the Bible. You can correct me later if you find that, but I don't think you will. We're the ones, humans are the ones that are made in the image and in the likeness of God Himself. Notice that. "And them have dominion," not saying we're gods. I didn't say that, so don't go twisting that. Amen. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Notice verse 27. So, God created man in, what's the next three words? His own image. There we see it again. We saw in verse 26, created in His image, made in His likeness. Now we see, down in verse number, the next verse, we see we are created in His own image. Image, the Bible says. So that makes it even clearer, even plainer, if that's possible, in His own image. In, here it is again, just doubling up on what was just said and showing the truth of it and making it even clearer. In the image of God created He Him. Male and female created He them. So here we see this morning, if you will, that God took and that God created man, God created woman in His image, in His likeness. God created us as mankind, as human beings. Amen. We were created in His image. Then verse 28, "And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." We just read where that was said in another verse basically a few minutes ago as well. And so we see simply this morning, from all these verses that we just read, we saw, if you will, I use this as a big way of saying it, I guess, the origins of life, right? We see how life started. We see the, if you will, how mankind was made and created. God took, and we could read other verses where the Bible talks more about it in detail, where God took and formed man out of the dust of the earth, right? And how God took and breathed in the man the breath of life, God's very breath into us, and man became a living soul, the Bible says. Amen. And so mankind was a special creation. Not that anything else, the animals or the birds and the bees, wasn't special, because they was. But mankind was in a particular special creation of God. Amen. In the fact that He took and He got even more, if you will, intimately and personally involved in our creation as man and woman, because God took and formed us out of the dust of the earth. He created us with His own hands. He breathed into us with His own very breath, the breath of life. He took and gave us a living soul, something He did not give to dogs and cats and birds and bees. Amen. Even though He did a great miracle when He did all them. God did something different and special when He created human beings. Amen. There was something different there. And something else that was different was He made us in His own image. Amen. He made us in His own likeness. Amen. And He said that several times in those verses that we just read for emphasis and to explain the fact that, hey, don't realize this. You are different than an animal. Amen. You are very important. You are very special to God. Amen. May I say that today to everybody in this building? You are not an animal. Amen. You are very special. You are very important to God. Amen. We saw the if you will, the birth of the first child, if you will, this morning. We saw the birth of Cain. Amen. We saw her when he was born. They said, "What? I've gotten a man from the Lord." Amen. And so childbirth is, if you will, Even with some of the things we talked about this morning in Sunday school, unique at times, every birth is really unique, right? There's something unique or special, if you will, about everyone. Not. I had two kids, and some of y'all had more than one too. And you know, and you think about no birth is exactly the same, right? Everyone has its own different things that takes place. Just like every child is different, amen. Every human being is different. But realize one thing we have in common is we all are created in the image and the likeness of God, amen. And we all have been given a soul by our Creator, and we all are created in the way that He would have us to be made, in His image and in His likeness. You think about this morning, God is the Creator, God is the giver of life. That leads us to the first point this morning. The first point is simply this: life is a gift from God is the title, but we are created is in the fact that is God has created life. Amen. God has created life this morning. You think with me, today is Sanctity of Life Sunday, and that means, of course, concerning abortion, and we think about that. But it also means the fact this morning, the fact that that life is precious itself. Amen. It's also to honor, if you will, and to be thankful for, and to put an extra importance on, not just abortion is wrong, that's a big part of it, but also the fact of how precious life really is. How life is a gift from God for every single person on this earth that's been given life, whether the Lord gives you 20 years, whether the Lord gives you 100 years or more. Amen. It's a gift from God. Every breath is a gift from Him. Every day is a gift from Him. Everything that you and I have, every child is a gift from Him. Amen. If you will. And a blessing from the Lord. And so God has created life, if you will, this morning. We read the verses that tell us that. He created everything that we see around us, but especially this morning what we're talking about, mankind. Amen. God has created everything, but especially what we're talking about in a special way, mankind. We see God's hand involved in a unique and a special way. Whereas I say this again this morning, I've said it many times, whereas all the other things of God of creation, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He spoke those things, but when it come to mankind, He got a little more intimately involved. Amen. He got a little more personally involved in the things that He did. Why? Because mankind is special. Life is special. Amen. Then what God has given to me, what God has given to you is something different, is something special, more special than just the bee is special, more special than the dog is special. Amen. And there's some special dogs out there. More special than what some of the animals are, mankind is even more special. And God has told us that we have dominion over all these things, as we read in those verses. And so you think about God has created us in a special way from the dust of this earth. You think about man was given a living soul. We're the only ones, as I mentioned a while ago, that has been given that living soul. So God has created life. But notice with me Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1 this morning. Jeremiah chapter number 1. I mentioned this as you're turning out on the table. I found them as I was doing some cleaning up this week. There's a track out there that Brother Murphy does as you're turning to Jeremiah 1 about a lot dealing with what we're talking about this morning. And it's a pretty good track. Got a stack of those out there if you'd like to pick some up, take them, read them, pass them out, etc. But Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 5 here, the Bible says, talking about Jeremiah, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly," what does it say? "I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." In other words, notice this verse says a lot of things. It says the fact that while the baby was in the womb, what? God knew this baby. He sanctified Jeremiah. Amen. While he was there in the womb, God knew it. But there's something even more interesting that this verse says. Before, notice that word. Before I formed thee in the belly, what did God say? I knew thee. That's why sometimes we say it this way, and maybe sometimes we don't think about or don't understand why preachers say things the way they do, and sometimes I don't know why we say things the way we do either. But this one I know. Sometimes we say that God's took and He's known you from eternity past. God's always knew you before you were ever born. From eternity past, God's knew you. He knew what you was going to do, where, and all those things. We're not just saying that because God knows everything. I'm saying it, all, yes, because God knows everything this morning, but God knows, right here it says, what? Before you were formed, God knew you. Amen? You think about God knew you before the actual forming of your parts began to take place. Amen. Before all that began to take place, God knew you. Amen? So God knew Jeremiah before he was ever formed, if you will, the Bible says, in the belly. But, and then it goes to the next step, I guess you might say, in the process. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. In other words, then once those parts begin to come together, is the way I read it, the next progression, it says, hey, when you were in the belly, guess what? I sanctified you. So in other words, God had His hand, if you will, on Jeremiah before Jeremiah was ever started to be born. Amen? I don't know how else to say it. And God had His hand on Jeremiah then when he began his life inside the womb. Amen? And then when Jeremiah was born, guess what? God still had His hand on his life. May I say, this is not just because Jeremiah was a great prophet and going to write a book of the Bible that this was the case. It's the case with every single human being. Amen. Amen? God knew you before you were formed. He's known you from eternity past. God knew you when you was in your mother's womb. Amen? God knows us. Amen? He knows His creation, if you will. You think about today, God created life, amen, even before that life was you that is sitting there on that church pew today, God created it, amen, and He knew it, and He knew what was going to take place, and He knew you'd be here today. You think about God created life. Life is a gift from God. Even from the womb, the baby is a baby. Amen. It's a living person. Amen. And people want to argue about that all day long, but you take and they want to say it's a fetus. Used to be the popular word they would use. Well, I challenge any person that wants to call it a fetus to look up the word fetus. I have no problem with a person calling it a fetus. You say, why would you ever say that, Pastor? Because if you look up the word fetus and see what that word means, you'll see they're saying the same thing we are. They're just using a word that makes them not feel as bad about what they're saying. That's the truth. That's the truth of the matter. It means, one, if I remember right, and I didn't write it down this time and look it back up again, but when I looked it up a few years ago, the word fetus, it meant one that's living, a living one. Something of that nature is what it meant. And the fact that it is alive. Amen? It's not just, now they don't use the word fetus anymore, maybe because somebody said that to them at some time, but instead now they'll just talk about a piece of tissue. And that type of thing is what they'll try to say nowadays to even, if you will, make it even less of what it really is, the fact that that's a living child. Amen? That's a living thing. Amen? In there, that's a living child. That's a human being in that mother's womb. From the womb, it's a baby and a living person just like me and just like you. Amen? Just like me and just like you. You think about God created life this morning. He has created it. Amen? I think about both my kids when they were being born. Amen? Before they were born, when they were in the womb. Guess what? God created both of them. Amen? God knew David was going to be the way David is. And the way he'll be. Amen. God knew all that. Amen. He created him in a special way. May I say the same thing with Daniel. God knew all that. And he knows more than I do about the future. God knows all that. And just because a person has problems, if you will, or not problems, but I don't know, I'm a loss for words when it comes to things like this, or isn't like everybody else, which no two people are like anyway. But we'll use those words for lack of a better way of saying it. Isn't what the world calls normal, if you will, which none of us are normal, I think, but I'll leave that alone too. But anyway, just because they don't fit the mold, if you will, does not mean they're any less of a life. Doesn't mean they're any less value to the eyes of God. Amen? The same thing's true when a person gets to be elderly. Amen? When a person gets to be 95, 100 years old, Miss Betty's just as much as important as that baby that's in the womb. Amen? Amen. Her life is just as important. Amen. Amen? And your life's just as important, no matter where you're at in the stage of your life. That's why I say, when I say sanctity of life, I'm trying not to park too much on abortion this morning, because that gets into, if you will, those that have, you know, special needs, we call them nowadays, the issues, if you will, that don't fit the box, if you will, to a point, or whether you're talking about those, euthanasia, when people get older the way they want to do sometimes. That happens. That, remember Kevorkian from years ago and all that type of stuff that we could talk about. Life is what we're talking about this morning, is important. It's a gift from God. He has created it. But look with me at another verse, Psalms 139.